Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Understand this truth. God does not use the proud, the haughty. He does not use those that think they have no need of Him. God uses broken vessels that have been remade. He's looking for people that will allow Him to break their life and mold them into the vessel He would have them to be. A.W. Tozer said, "When God has a mountain to conquer, He chooses an ordinary man and allows him to be crushed. Then He remakes him a man to conquer that mountain. He also said, any man God uses greatly, He allows to be hurt deeply. We're dealing with a hurting world. And unless we know how to minister to them and comfort them, then we're going to be ineffective in our life. So if you're going through hurting times, if your heart's been broken, if you think everything's falling apart, God's just about got you to the place where He can remake you and use you for His glory. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Last Sunday, I spoke on the subject, I still believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I still believe it. And I told you last week, His coming was sure. His coming would be sudden. His coming would be doubted and scoffed at. His coming is soon. And at His coming, He'll be selective when He comes. Today, I want us to read the first 13 verses of chapter 25. Chapter 24 talks about the second coming and answers the question the disciples ask, Lord, when are You coming and what are the signs of Your coming? And the Lord gives us an outline of end-time events in chapter 24. In chapter 25, the Lord Jesus gives us illustrations of what it will be like when He comes again. The first 13 verses, He illustrates what it will be like at the rapture. And the second verses, verse 14 through verse 30, He tells us what it'll be like when the saved will stand before Jesus at His coming and give an account of their stewardship. And then the latter part of Matthew 25 tells us about the judgment of the nations at His coming. For this morning, I want us to begin to read in chapter 25 and verse number 1. Would you stand again with me as we begin to read from the blessed Word of God? The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. By the way, the bridegroom's Jesus. The virgins represent those that say they are ready and waiting for His coming. And 5 of those virgins were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For my message this morning, I want us to focus especially on verse 10, 11, and 12. Verse number 10 says, and while they went to buy, that's the foolish virgins, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But the Lord answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Heavenly Father, help me today as I bring this message. Put your hand upon it and empower the words that they might find hearts that are needful, hearts that need to think about getting ready for that day when Jesus comes again. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you'll walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium and you'll stop by every seat and talk to every person, and we might examine our lives and ask the question, if you should come today, would I be one of those that could go in, or would I be one of those that would face a door that had been shut on me and hear the Lord say, I know you not. God, speak to our hearts. Save every unsaved person in this building. Help Christians. Help us to look at our lives. Help us to make those necessary adjustments so we can live for you. Some need to get right with you. Some need to get saved. Some Christians are backslidden today. There are others here that are saved, but they don't have a church where they can worship you and serve you while we wait for your coming. Oh God, use this preacher as your servant today to proclaim your truth. And I'll give you thanks and praise and honor and glory for every decision that's made and every person that yields their heart to you today. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. In chapter 25, our Lord gives us a glimpse into the future at His coming. He teaches us a lesson about a lesson with a warning as to every person's urgent need of knowing that He's ready for that day. By the way, if Jesus should come right now, are you ready? You say, well, I'm saved. Let me ask the next question. Are you right with God? There's a lot of saved people not right with God. Do you have a church home? Do you attend regularly? Do you live for the Lord Jesus Christ? I would imagine this morning in this room and with an audience like this, there are people here that are not ready. There are people here that are not saved. There are people here that are not living for Jesus. There are people here that are not active in a local church. There are people here that need a church home. I say to you, as we live today, we need to be focusing our attention on getting ready for that day when Jesus comes again. The chapter opens with the Bible stating, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The virgins represent those that say they are ready. The bridegroom represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord begins this story, this illustration, by saying the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of all of the religions of the world. All of Christendom. Now, it's important for you to know that not everybody that says they're saved are saved. Not everybody that makes up a church is a part of His church. Not every church under name of a church is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He wants us not to say, well, everything's all right because I'm a part of a religion. He wants us to take time individually to look to our hearts and look to our life and make sure there's no mistake about it. We are ready, or we need to get ready for that day when Jesus is coming again. In our scripture story, all 10 of these virgins claim to be ready and waiting for the bridegroom. But our story makes it very plain that not all were ready and not all were allowed to go in to the wedding when the bridegroom came. Now the meaning of this is that most everybody claims to be religious. Most everybody wants to go to heaven. Most everybody has some pretense of religion. But the Lord knows the real from the unreal. He knows the saved from the unsaved. And at His coming, there will be a distinction made. At His coming, there'll be a dividing. At His coming, there will be a separation of the real from the unreal, the ready from the unready, the saved from the unsaved. And I say again, not everybody who claims to be religious is saved. Not everybody who claims to be a church member is a child of God and ready for Jesus to come. And I must ask you here, are you sure about your eternity this morning? Are you ready for Jesus coming? Are you one of those that pretend to be ready, but in your heart you know you're not ready? Are you saved? Or are you lost this morning? Now, throughout all the religious world today, there are those who are unsaved spread among the saved. There's both evil and good in our churches. In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord talks about the kingdom of heaven is like, and He talks about a field where there's wheat sown and there's tares among the wheat. He talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a net let down in the sea, and it gathers both good fish and bad fish. That's the way the Lord's work is today, the church. In the church, there's good and bad. There's saved and lost. There's ready and those that are not ready. My message this morning is to challenge you to make sure you know who you are. Because after Jesus comes, there's no getting ready. After Jesus comes, there's no second chances. After Jesus comes, the ready will go in with Him to the marriage, and the unready will be locked outside to face tribulation, Antichrist, Satan, and an eternity without Almighty God. And you say, preacher, but I watched the Left Behind series, and the Left Behind series told me that we'd have a second chance. Well, there's a big difference between Bible and movies. You don't go to the movies to get Bible truth. You go to the Bible. And the Bible makes it plain that anyone who's heard the gospel in the church age and did not get saved will not have a second chance during or after Jesus comes again. The Bible makes it plain that if we hear the gospel and we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Savior in that day, will be worse off in the sight of God than the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't have the gospel. And we do. And so, God wants us to understand that this is that getting ready time. This little period of time known as the church age is the time when our number one commission and purpose as Christians is to take the gospel to every creature, to evangelize the world. He wants the world to hear the gospel and get saved. He wants you, lost sinner, to get saved. He wants you to be ready for that day when Jesus comes again. There are those who are ready for eternity, and there are those who have never made that required preparation. Heard about a young man that was killed. He had rejected God, and he actually laid down, if I'm not mistaken, in front of a train. He was one of these men, young men that was into the gothic stuff, the goth, black, black nails, black hair, black clothing. Started to say black teeth. And their ultimate high is death. Laid down in front of a train. They had to wash him off of the engine. And I heard someone say they sang at his funeral, "I did it my way." He's going to get the results of his way throughout eternity. But I'm here to tell you, God has a way. And God has a way of salvation, a way of peace, a way of forgiveness, a way to heaven, a way where we have a life worth living and a future worth looking forward to. Now, our scripture tells us about two different knockings. Jesus knocks at the door of every heart wanting entrance. Have you heard him knock? Have you allowed him to come in? Someone said on that door where Jesus knocks, there's no doorknob outside. You have to open the door and invite him in. Have you? Have you accepted him as Savior? Jesus is not going to force his way into your life. He wants you to choose to trust him, to choose to love him, to choose to accept him as your Savior. He wants you to hear his knock when he says, "If any man open that door, I will come in with unto him and sup with him, and he with me." He wants to save you. And then in our scripture reading for today, there is a second knocking. And the knocking in our scripture is after Jesus comes, and those who have not opened their heart's door to Jesus and trusted him as Savior. Now then, when the door has been shut and all the saved are in with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the unsaved are now knocking. They didn't hear his knock and let him in, but they're asking him to give them a second chance, and his response is, "Sorry, I never knew you." Why, in other parallel passages, it says that they are knocking and saying, "We've done many wonderful works in your name. We've even cast out devils in your name." And Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You better make sure that your religion is not a substitute for the new birth. You better make sure that you've not bypassed Calvary and think you can slip into heaven by some religion of works. Now let me get to my message. I want you to notice two aspects here. I want you to notice the ready and their entrance, and then I want you to notice the unready and their exclusion. The ready and their entrance. Look at verse 10. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Let me say first of all that salvation does not grow in nature's garden. You're not automatically saved just because you were born into this world. The Bible makes it plain that flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. And in order for the flesh, the living, to know eternal life, we must experience a spiritual birth, a new birth. Your flesh came into existence by physical birth. You come into the family of God and become a child of God by spiritual birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. Salvation's from above. That's what the new birth means. It's from above. It's a work of God's grace. No man earns his way to heaven. It's given as a gift. And it has to be received by us as a gift. when we believe upon Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, this new birth takes place only when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. No other way. You're not born again because you had a near-death experience and lived. You're not born again because you were sick and got well. You were not born again because you were crippled and suddenly you can walk again. We are born again when, as lost sinners, we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And by faith in Him, on the merit of God's grace, we accept Him as our Savior. Well, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. It's by grace. Through faith. And then He says, the faith is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works. We don't earn it by works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, we're His workmanship. I want you to know, if you're saved today, you're saved because God saved you. God forgave you. God has redeemed you. God has quickened you. God has made you alive. It wasn't you and God. When you put your trust in God, God in Christ, God performs the new birth in your life. Salvation becomes our possession when we call upon the Lord to save us. The Bible says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call. You say, how do I exercise my faith? Ask Him to save you. Call upon Him to save you. That's what it means. That's what it's referring to. Our calling upon Jesus to save us results in the forgiveness of our sin and reconciliation with God on the merit of Christ's death alone. Look to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made unto his brethren, that He might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. We have one today who died in our place and has purchased our salvation. He reconciles us to God. It is God's work for us and in us. It's a gift we accept by faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. When we call on the Lord Jesus to save us, we're born again. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Then and only then can we say we're ready for Jesus to come. We're saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know? Now that they're ready, now that you're saved, I want you to consider their entrance, the entrance of these five wise virgins. And by the way, wise is that person that gets ready for Jesus to come. It is a fool that puts it off and that pretends. Notice their entrance when Jesus came. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with Him, Jesus, to the marriage, and the door was shut. May I say, first of all, their entrance was immediate. The rapture is not going to be something that's going to be drawn out over 2 weeks and 2 months. That quick, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the saved will be changed. The saved will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's as quick as stepping through a door. It's immediate. And oh my soul, if you're not ready, you don't go through that door. And then may I say in the second place, it was intimate. They went in with Jesus. With. Are you looking forward to being with Jesus? Now, let me tell you, it's hard for me to reconcile the fact that some people say I'm a Christian and I'm looking forward to heaven, but I don't want to spend time with Jesus down here. I don't want to read His Bible. I don't want to spend time praying. I don't want to go to church. But I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm here to tell you that going in is an intimate relationship, and that intimacy does not begin after the door is shut. Mrs. Smith and I have been married for 50 years. But can I tell you something? I loved her before I married her. I thought she was the greatest thing God ever put on this earth. And I wanted to spend time with her before we were married. I loved to talk to her. I loved to hear her voice. I loved to read her letters. Now, that was because I loved her and I was ready to marry her. Now, if I love Jesus and I'm ready for that marriage supper at His coming, then why don't I enjoy being with Him now? Why don't I enjoy reading His letters now? Why don't I enjoy talking to Him now? Why don't I enjoy worshiping Him and being a part of His church now? That coming, at His coming, that entrance was intimate. Don't you think that if you don't love Him now and you don't want to be around church now and you don't spend time in His Bible now, suddenly, all of a sudden, when He comes, you're going to be excited about it? Flesh is never excited about the coming of Jesus Christ. We're not to walk in the flesh and live in the flesh. We're to walk in the Spirit, so we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. His coming, at His coming, those that went in Him, their entrance was immediate. It was intimate. May I say, it'll be intimidating. It'll be intimidated. The foolish, the unready will be revealed. There's a difference between the saved and the lost in this life, and there'll be a difference between the saved and the lost when Jesus comes. And make no doubt about it. Don't you worry. Don't you think you can slip in and get by. The Bible says the Lord knoweth them that are His. You see, there's a blood mark on the child of God. They've been washed of their sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Some listening to my voice today will be ready when Jesus comes. And they'll go in with Him to that marriage. They'll be on the right side of that shut door. They'll be inside with Jesus. Some of you listening to my voice are not ready. You may be pretending to be ready, but God knows you're not ready. And when He comes, you'll be one that's left outside of that locked door. You'll be one of those that hear Him say, "I know you not." Now that time hasn't come yet. And this is still getting ready time. And there's time for you to get saved. There's time for you to get ready. And there's time for you to get right. You can't put it off, and you can't continue to live in that pretense and think you'll be ready when Jesus comes again. And then let me say quickly, look at those that were unready and their exclusion. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with Him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Revelation says, when the Lord shuts the door, no man can open it. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. What is this unreadiness? What does it mean to be unready to meet Christ at His coming? He's talking about the absence of that secret essential. Even though they had made some preparation, they were not ready. You may be here today, my friend, and you've made some preparation for death and some preparation for leaving this life. But if you've never been saved, you're not ready. You may have made out your will and have provided for your family should you die, but that won't get you to heaven. You may be religious and even a member of some religious organization, but that won't get you to heaven. You may appear to be a good person, as maybe you think, I'm better than some in the church. But goodness won't get you to heaven. You may want to go to heaven, but want-tos are not enough to get you into heaven. My dear friend, if you've avoided that personal acceptance of Jesus Christ, then you're not ready. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus said, speaking of Himself and the way of salvation, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, in conclusion, I want you to consider their exclusion. It was universal. All who were unready were locked outside. Not one got in. Not one slipped in. It was universal. And then may I say, secondly, it was final. The door was shut. They are forever lost. There'll be no second chances. They lived without Christ. Now Christ has come and they're not ready. They'll forever be unready. In that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Not only was it universal and final, it was just. You see, they had opportunity, but they never accepted the Savior. They never accepted the Bible way to heaven. Whether they ignored it or rejected it, it doesn't matter. They're lost. They're locked outside. And it's forever. And by the way, it's just. It's just. If God allowed one unsaved sinner into heaven, He'd pollute heaven for everybody. Only those whose sins have been forgiven, blotted out, washed away, born again, made new, they have spiritual life in Christ already. It would be unjust to let one unsaved person in. The Bible says in Revelation, nothing that defileth shall enter in. And I want you to know, without Jesus, we're in our sins. Without Jesus, we're unsaved. Without Jesus, we're condemned already. You say, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. Yes, but our sins are forgiven under the blood, blotted out, washed away, never to be remembered again. That happened because Jesus died for them. Jesus paid for them. And the blood of Jesus blotted them out. And may I say lastly, that exclusion is forever. Forever. Never another chance. I hear people say, well, if I don't get saved today, I'll get saved some other time. There's not going to be any other time now. It's forever. It's forever. Well, if this door closes to me, another door will open to me. Yeah, it'll be the door of hell. The door of hopelessness. The door of a life without Christ. And it's your decision. You've made that decision because you did not choose Him in this life. Now listen to me. Just think. Be logical. If you choose to live your life without Jesus here, what right do you have to think that God will allow you to live it with Jesus in eternity? No, only the ready went in, and the door was shut, and the unready were excluded from heaven. I've got to ask this question, I'll be through. Which of those two groups are you in? The ready or the unready? The saved or the unsaved? If Jesus should come this morning, this afternoon, would you be one of the ready or one of those locked outside? Father, that's our message today. I don't know how much plainer I can make it. Now then, all I can do is pray and ask You to work in the hearts of people and appeal to people to come and trust Jesus. Don't miss that secret ingredient to be ready, and that secret ingredient is Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. He only comes into us when we invite Him to come in. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts very plainly, very carefully. Lord, help us to listen. There are people here today that need to consider their life, consider their relationship to You. They need to ask the question, am I ready if Jesus should come today? Am I saved? Am I right with God? Am I living to please God? And then, Father, they need to get ready. They need to trust You today as Savior. Now, Lord, just as I started praying, there's some people here today that are visitors, got up and left. They're going to wish they had opportunity one day to have one more invitation chance. This may be their last chance. What a terrible thing to send away our last opportunity because something else out there in the world was more important to us than getting ready to meet Jesus. There's people here that needs to be saved today. I ask You to save them. There's people here that need to get in church and begin to serve You. I ask You to speak to their heart and help them to come and yield to Your will. There's some saved people that have never been baptized that need to obey You in believers' baptism today.